This is the first three-period show we've had off-season all year. So we've taken it to another level. Paul Ranheim just oozing full of stories for us as he's brought it from all levels. Of course, we mentioned in period number one, he grew up in Edina, played high school hockey there, went on to play for the Badgers in Wisconsin, had a productive career there, had that huge year in Salt Lake City as part of the Calgary Flame organization, was working through the Flames. In the second period, Paul, of course, co-founder of PG Key, that's pgkey.com, check it out, was telling us a little bit about how we were talking about Theo Fleury's celebration against Edmonton, but the greatest part was Tiikkanen came and just burned you in game seven. Bummer. Yeah, and then, but you were starting to say at the end of that period about those rivalry games. Now, Vancouver could be included in there with you guys too, but was there just something a little extra between Calgary and Edmonton?
Well, yeah, being in Alberta, you know, the Battle of Alberta, it was intense. And, you know, just the bad blood that goes back to the years of intense rivalry. I mean, they had amazing teams, and Flames always seemed to come up just a goal short, you know.
Was it because of Gretzky, though? Was it because of Gretzky? Until Smith helped you. Was it because of Gretzky?
Oh, you know, Gretzky was so good, but he also had that mental hold on you where you couldn't get over the hump. You know?
What was the hold?
Just the fact that he was so good, you felt like he was invincible. Like, you couldn't defeat them, you know?
So we're like, would you have you, Gilmore, and Fleury going against him?
We did sometimes, but we also had Otto. Well, we had Otto against Messier's line.
Could he even keep up with a guy like Gretzky?
Who, Joel?
Was he pretty quick?
Joel.
Maybe the helmet made him look slow. The bucket. Yeah. With the SK
the 2000. The bad bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that does have an effect, you know.
It does.
Look slow if he's got big old equipment on.
Not looking, yeah. Working the Messier right. Win well.
Yeah, exactly.
How can a guy who had the ugliest looking helmet in hockey be the M11 guy? That makes zero sense. Okay,
I got a great picture of Messier gritting his teeth. He's got his stick around me. He's just pulling me, and I got to show that to you, but it's just a great picture of that part of that rivalry.
Did you break free?
Of course. I probably scored.
Okay. So from a playoff atmosphere and all that, which anthem is better to start a game with, O Canada or Star Spangled Banner?
Well, I mean, it's different. You talk about being in Chicago for our national anthem, nothing like that. Unbelievable. Especially the old stadium. Oh. Just, I mean, goosebumps.
How could you stand still? Were you bouncing around like
it? Oh, yeah. You couldn't stand still. It just got you so fired up. I mean, you were spent after the national anthem.
B&IV.
You get on that ice, and you're just ready to go. And playing the Hawks in those days back in that building was another tough.
How bad was that Oregon?
Oh, it was
But
best.
It just, no, but when they'd score on you?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
it's 5-1 now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dougie Wilson goes shelf from like his own blue line because the rink's about 160 feet. It's like a 3-on-3 rink.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, and that rink seems small too with some of those guys out there. But back to the Edmonton thing, the amount of talent they had and just the reputation, and they had it all covered. And it started to switch later on. But it's still, they had the edge early on for sure.
Do you find it interesting that, you know, the Oilers did have all of that? And, you know, where did these guys really come from when you think about it? Because they were WHA team. Glenn Anderson, really? Yari Curry, who's this Finn? You know, you kind of go up and down the roster like that. Coffee? Look at that guy. But did you feel as though the Flames were always about a half step behind? But for some reason, based on the markets and having to compete, you know, Cliff Fletcher did a hell of a job keeping that team in stride with that other team.
Yeah, Cliff was a fabulous hockey mind, fabulous GM. Just had the greatest respect for Cliff. The way he assembled teams that were able to compete with them. Cliff was amazing and still is and still involved in the game. And that's what you need is guys with that kind of ability to help the game along.
How much do you think he tutors Chuck?
You know, I mean, Chuck would be crazy not to lean on your dad for knowledge with that kind of experience. So I'm sure there's a lot of uh, a lot of talking going on, which is great.
Yeah, that pedigree is legit.
Absolutely legit.
So you have a choice between the Eastern Conference West, but I prefer Wales and Campbell. Which one would you prefer? Which side do you like to play on?
Yeah, you know, the Campbell. I always like playing. Yeah, yeah. Like playing in the West. There was two different games back then. It
still
really
is.
Was. Yeah. You know, a lot more clutching and grabbing in the East. It was just a tighter game, you know, played in the corners. And the West was just more wide open, you know, more freewheeling.
There's a perception that the East has become more wide open over the new rules of the NHL. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's probably closed the gap a bit, but there's still the differences, for sure.
Finally, you know, we've gone through the tryouts. I think just about everybody's tried out at the youth level. We got the squirts just wrapping it up. In some instances, high schools are getting on the ice to try out. Did you, at any level, I saw Chris Bonvino, your good friend, suggest that you could have made the Bantam A team as a Squirt A. I loved it. Perfect. Did you ever go through your share of heartbreak?
It's funny you should ask. I was cut from my very first year of Squirt A's. Squirt A's, I mean, that was going
to
be...
There was no B teams.
Yeah, that was the team. You know, all my buddies were on it. I thought for sure I'm going to be on that team. But I was cut. I was cut and learned a very valuable life lesson out of that. You know, I was looking at my dad like, can you believe it? You know, I got cut from this team. And he looked at me and he just said, you know what? Life isn't fair. You know what? Deal with it. Move on. You'll be better. We know you probably should have been on that team. But life isn't always fair, and you're going to have heartbreak like that. And how do you handle it? How do you deal with it? You know, that's going to make you a better person.
What kind of a year did you have?
Well, I had, you know, I played in the house league and tore it up.
Gold division.
Yeah, gold division.
But you know what I always say is when the puck went in that corner and you were in fourth grade or whatever it was, and you're going after that loose puck with another guy, you weren't thinking this is a gold division, house division race for the puck. That was a race for the puck you had to get.
Race for the puck, and I was thinking, you know what, I love this game. I'm just going to play as well as I can, have fun with it. And I wasn't vindictive. I wasn't thinking I'm going to show anybody. You know, I'm a sport. I'm going to just have fun with it. And that's what we got to remember at the end of the day. You enjoy the game, have fun with it. Definitely not when you're a squirt, think, you know, if I miss this, if I don't have a good game, I'll never play at the next level, you know?
And really, and parents remember that, too. I think, you know, a lot of that thought process can be aided and guided by, you know, we're in the soundbite culture of ESPN. I say it all the time. And I think we've become experts because knuckleheads like me are behind desks pontificating on the game. And so then that becomes knowledge.
Well, and we have a lot more ability to see games, to watch highlights, to, you know, see reruns of our highlight reel. And, you know, it's a different era.
It is a different era from the perspective of how information is gathered, which is a good thing. And then on the same thing, it can kind of become a negative too. So it's important for parents and players, coaches to manage that, I think. But you know, you also had another little bit of a heartbreak, I guess would be a right word, you know. And you know, I don't want to make it sound like you have sour grapes because you don't, clearly. But I mean, to the average person, I think everybody wanted to be an Olympian. And everybody wanted to be part of that team. And you made the 1988 Olympic team. Dave Peterson, the late Dave Peterson, was the coach. And suddenly you were dismissed of your duties or cut or whatever you want to call it. So you had to go back to play your senior year in Wisconsin. And you had to deal with that.
Absolutely. I had to make the decision, you know, do I turn pro and go back and listen to my ego, you know, stroke my ego, or do I do what's right? And go back and develop more and go for my senior year. And ultimately, that's what I decided to do. And it was the best decision. It was clearly I wasn't in a place mentally. I would have gotten my pro career off to a horrible start. And who knows where that would have led. So I just refocused and went back and had a great senior year and you know, finished up school and turned pro after that. So, you know, it was doing the right thing, and it took me some time. You know, I spent a little time thinking about it and what was best, and I was happy with that decision. But you know, there's disappointments in life, and how do you handle it? How do you turn it into a positive for you?
Do you find that sometimes people handle disappointments by trying to find the team that fits for their player, their kid, or whatever it is? Or do you see that? Do you feel like the team makes the player, or the player makes the team?
Well, I think it's disappointing if that's the philosophy. I think you take your setbacks and you work hard and you ask why. You know, a lot of times there is injustice, but what is the message you're sending the kid if you don't tell them to just deal with it and get better? Or, you know, we're going to just try to gloss over it and find some other fit for you.
Having been in the league for the years you were in, 13, and the games you were in, over 1,000, do you think it's fair for a hockey culture to look at a kid who's 6 years old and say, I have a roadmap to get you to the NHL? Is that even possible?
Well,
is that gymnastics or hockey?
Yeah, right. I mean, if that's the way it's being looked at now, that's just very disappointing because, I mean, I think it goes back to the whole Tiger Woods era. Ever since Tiger Woods became a figure where his father manufactured him into this great, you know, golfer, through how he trained him and what he did, I disagree with that. I mean, who is it for? Is it for the parent or is it for the kid? You know, does your kid really like what they're doing? Do they enjoy the game? Are they going out there and playing because they love it and they're social with their friends and they're having fun? Or are they doing it because they want to be manufactured and get a scholarship and turn pro? I mean, those are goals you want to have, but if you're not having fun along the way and it's being forced upon you, then that's not a good thing.
How come every NHL player I've run into says exactly what you said, that you got to have fun? It feels to me like the definition of fun is defined by people that aren't actually playing the game but that are observing the game, and their idea of fun is winning and getting as much ice time as you possibly can. You know, why are the ones that have never played or made it the ones that come out and say, you know, it's just a broad brush when I say that, but you know, that's not fun. Having fun isn't fun. You get a feeling of that.
Well, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Everybody, the goal is to win, mm-hmm. and you play to win, and I don't like, you know, the modern thinking of, oh, let's just play to, you know, you're playing to win. We're not, you know, we want to keep score and play to win. But at the same time, I think that we got to be realistic about what are the facts about how these kids are developing and where they're going after they've played youth sports. You know, how many are going on to play college hockey? How many are going on to be drafted? How many are going to, after the draft, to even make it to the NHL?
Well, no doubt it is about perspective and the funnel. You know, I think the funnel we hear so much about as it continues to go up, it gets smaller and smaller, Paul, and I think it's something that gets taken for granted, but it certainly isn't something that can be forced.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot force, you know, and manufacture. You can provide and enhance and make sure that the opportunity is there. But beyond that, you just cannot manufacture robots that are going to, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. You want to nurture them and give them opportunity, but not be overbearing and, you know, just expect too much.
Great stuff here today. I think we covered about 10 miles worth of hockey, and I think there's a lot more within it. But be sure to listen to all the other stuff that we do. We'll see you on My Fox Hockey, a little possible Beyond the Pond stuff that we're going to have. We can't really nail down exactly, but there's going to be tons, so get ready for that. And plenty more as we continue to work our way through the hockey season, bringing on you and also PG Key, which I think is a tremendous product. It's, to me, award-winning for what it does, and I think it's going to be the type of product. Boy, the wind's blowing up here at the world headquarters of the Hub as we're out looking at gorgeous Lake Normandale. Still have a little bit of color up on the hills by the ski slopes. You know, within a month, not even a month, we'll be skiing.
Pete, thanks so much for having me, and I appreciate what you're doing, not only for hockey, but for getting the word out on PG Key.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon. That's going to do it for a fabulous edition of the Overtime Radio Show on the mnhockeyhub.com radio network. For Paul Ranheim, I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.